Well, once again, I trust that you have a copy of this morning's summary for the message today. It's all about persevering faith. Whatever God starts, He finishes. It's the fourth of six messages in a series all about these wonderful reminders, these signs on our chapel walls. We began, as you may recall, with divine providence. We happen to believe that God is working in all things for our good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. We believe that with all of our hearts. In divine providence, He causes all things to work together for good. That's Romans 8 and verse 28. Well, how, pray tell, do we know for certain that God is causing all things to work together for good according to His purpose? Because His purpose has been designed in sovereign grace. That's Romans 8, 29 and 30. Back before the foundation of the world, He set His love upon us. Then He predestined us to receive eternal life. Then He called us to salvation. Then He justified us. And the promise is that one day He will glorify us. That's how we know that in divine providence, God causes all things to work together for good, because in His sovereign grace, there is a fivefold golden chain, an unbreakable chain, five links, in which He foreknew us and predestined us and called us and justified us and one day will glorify us. And how can we be certain of that? It's all because of His steadfast love. We are kept firm and secure in the love of God that He has for us in Christ Jesus, so that nothing in this world or the world to come will ever be able to separate us from that wonderful, steadfast love of God. Well, that's Romans 8, 39 and 30, 38 and 39. That's the third signpost, steadfast love, which moves us to persevering faith. In His love for us, He preserves us. And in the preservation of our faith, He enables us to keep on persevering in faith. And why is that so important? Because persevering faith is the way that we get to eternal glory, which is the basis of our enduring hope. This is a wonderful reminder of who we are as members of Bethel Christian Fellowship. Not everybody believes in these truths. Trust me, not everybody does, but we do, because we know what the Scriptures teach. Praise His holy name. So this morning, our subject is persevering faith. Whatever God starts, He finishes, by way of introduction. Every truth in the Bible gives us reason to rejoice, but perhaps none more so than the one before us today. It's the declaration that we are saved by persevering faith, and that it's God who keeps us persevering. It assures us that whatever God starts, He finishes. It's God's guarantee that if we have truly believed at some point in the past, we will wake up as believers tomorrow morning. Glory be to God. This glorious truth is a tremendous source of joy. It gives us strength for today's problems and peace for tomorrow's threats. Why? Because we must persevere in faith in order to enter heaven. Just as Jesus said, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." That's Mark 13. And as Paul taught, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you." That's 1 Corinthians 15. And as the author of Hebrews has explained, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence that we had at first. That's Hebrews chapter 3. But the flip side of this truth declares that our great God preserves us so that we will persevere. That's the reason for rejoicing. The only pathway to eternal glory is persevering faith. And we have the assurance that God keeps us persevering in faith because of his preservation of our lives through thick and thin, as we surely know. The Christian life is not exactly a leisurely stroll down the yellow brick road. Have you all realized that yet? Do you all realize the Christian life is not exactly like some leisurely stroll down the yellow brick road? Oh, there are dangers, and there are hardships, and there are temptations that threaten to undo us and to destroy us and to lead us into despair and even into unbelief. So, what assurance do we have that we will continue in the faith, apart from which there is no eternal life? Well, the answer is obvious. Our safety and protection is the fruit of God's faithfulness, because whatever he starts, he finishes. We see this, for example, in John's Gospel. In the Bread of Life discourse, Jesus reveals the will of the Father for those given to him before the foundation of the world. He says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." That's Jesus, John chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. John's Gospel also reveals that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, who promises that not one of his God-given sheep will ever perish. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." That's John 10, 27 through 30. As we can see, the perseverance of the saints is due to the preservation of the Savior. And finally, John's Gospel also reveals Jesus' high priestly prayer, in which he prays for you and me. He asks that all whom the Father had given him would be preserved to share in his glory. Notice the prayer of Jesus, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." That's his prayer in John 17 and verse 24. It's inconceivable that his prayer for us, which still continues today, as in Romans 8 and Hebrews 7, will go unanswered. So the perseverance of the saints is also due to the prayers of the Savior. Did you all hear the words of Jesus Christ? He has just told us that there are people given to him by the Father. They have been given to him by the Father before the creation of the world. All those given by the Father to the Son will listen. They will hear. They will come. They will be saved. They will be kept. And they will be raised up on the last day. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, John chapter 10, John chapter 17. There are people given by the Father to the Son. They are the sheep in John chapter 10. They are the elect in Romans chapter 8, given by the Father to the Son. And on the basis of sovereign grace and steadfast love, he keeps those who are his own. That's our starting point. That's clearly taught in the Gospel of John, John 6, and John 10, and John 17. Next page, please. As we have seen in our previous studies, God's saving purpose for his elect has been likened to a golden chain consisting of five unbreakable links. It spans eternity past, when God foreloved us, to eternity future, when the justified will be glorified. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. "For those God foreknew," think for loved. He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Not a single person is lost in the process. Whatever God starts, he finishes. The plan began before eternity. He set his love upon a people. He predestined those people to receive eternal life. He called those people to himself. He justified those people. And one day those people will be glorified. Five unbreakable links in the golden plan of salvation that God has for his elect, all based upon sovereign grace. Based upon this glorious truth, we also saw how Paul closed his argument by asking a question. Well, that's Romans 8 and verse 31a. What in the world shall we say to all of this? How can we add to this? Well, he then answers that question by asking five more questions. In each one, Paul assures us of our present and future security in the steadfast love of God. And what follows is his grand finale, Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us for the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Glory be to God in his providence. He has a plan. That plan is set forth because of his sovereign grace. It's preserved in light of his steadfast love, and the steadfast love keeps us moving forward to the hope of eternal glory. Elsewhere in Paul's epistles, he rejoices in the certainty that God will finish the good work that he started in the lives of his converts and in all genuine believers. So in today's message, I want us to consider three of these passages. In each one, Paul's emphasis is on God's faithfulness to preserve us to the end, and to the end we must and will persevere so that we can enter eternal glory based upon this wonderful enduring hope that is ours. Are you ready? Amen. We are just getting revved up. Oh, I thought you thought we were going to end with the benediction. No, we are just getting started. Exhibit A, three passages. Exhibit A, Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Paul to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Love that translation found in the NIV. What God has started, he will finish. Yes. Now, the good work which God began in the hearts of these Philippian believers is the new birth. God began a good work. That initial work of God's saving grace will be completed on the day of Christ Jesus, which Paul also teaches in Philippians 1 and 2, when Christ returns in glory to raise his people from the dead. That's when we get glorified. All who have genuine saving faith will be kept secure until that day. Such was Paul's confidence, which accounts for the joy that filled his heart every time he prayed on their behalf. Paul knew that God will do whatever it takes to guarantee that no genuine believer will ever walk away from their faith. He knew that God will do everything necessary to bring us safely into his presence all the way through to the end of the age. If that isn't reason for rejoicing, I don't know what is. That's the only way we get into heaven, is by persevering faith. And God promises that he that has begun a good work in our hearts will keep it and preserve it and continue it until that day. Glory be to God. That's not to say that the Philippians wouldn't face many obstacles. They did. Nor is it to say that the evil one had given up trying to deceive them and derail their faith. He didn't. They were never beyond the possibility of failing or faltering in their faith, nor are we. However, what Paul is saying is that God remains faithful to the work of grace that he has begun in our lives. What he has started, he will finish. So what then does this mean for us today? Here's where we connect the dots. This is glorious stuff that we are learning here on Sunday morning. How does this connect to how we go out and face tomorrow morning? How do we connect the dots? What does this mean for us today? Answer. It means that if we are carrying a heavy burden or filled with worry and fear or overwhelmed with stress and anxiety, God will supply us with whatever it takes to get us through these hard times. Anybody here today burdened? Anybody here today overwhelmed with stress and anxiety? Anybody here troubled? Anybody here fearful? Anybody here worried about what the future may hold? He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of our salvation. He will do whatever it takes to get us through whatever is confronting us today so that we keep on pressing forward with an enduring hope that leads us into eternal glory. That's the reason we are rejoicing. Amen. We keep pressing on because whatever God starts, he finishes. Glory be to God. Well, that's Exhibit A. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. Exhibit B, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 through 9. Paul again, this time to the Corinthians. We see Paul rejoicing again. He's thankful again. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, is faithful. Everything that follows is predicated upon the faithfulness of our great God. Our persevering faith does not depend upon us. Thank God. Our persevering faith does not depend upon our will, our resolve, our commitment. Thank God. Our persevering faith depends upon his faithfulness to us. He fuels the flames of faith within our hearts, and no matter what comes our way, he enables us to overcome and to press on and to endure and persevere. Perseverance implies discouragement. Perseverance implies resistance. Perseverance implies trouble and affliction. The Christian life is not exactly a leisurely stroll down the yellow brick road. And so we need lots of grace, that keeps on fueling the flame of faith within our hearts, that enables us to keep on pressing on with enduring hope so that we see eternal glory. Praise His holy name.
Amen.
This is another clear declaration of God's faithfulness in protecting and preserving those whom He has called into fellowship with His Son. It's His commitment to sustain us to the end, which is clearly a reference to the second coming of Christ at the end of the age, or the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you see Paul or the New Testament authors talk about the day of the Lord, the coming day of the Lord, that's the second coming of Christ. It's at the end of the age, the very, very end of the age, when everything takes place at once. Once again, this is a promise. It's not a hope-so-wish. Paul assures the Corinthians that the God of grace, who has begun His work of grace in their lives, could be trusted to complete that work. For Paul says He will keep you strong to the end, not He might keep you strong, or He may keep you strong. Well, that's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God gives us certainty. The Word of God gives us assurance. The Word of God gives us an expectant hope that the God who has begun a good work in our hearts will continue it. He will make you strong, continue to hold you and preserve you and keep you through thick and thin. Now, the reason we can be sure of this is because God is faithful. Praise His holy name. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. The faithfulness of God is the guarantee that we will be sustained to the end and declared guiltless both now and forever. Now look, when we came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ's righteousness was imputed to us so that we were declared guiltless at that time. That's the doctrine of justification. When we came to faith in Christ, we lost the guilt and condemnation of our sin and gained the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us so that God now sees us as if we've never sinned. We have been justified, declared to be righteous for all time. So because God is faithful, that verdict will never be overturned. Do you believe that? We have a faithful, righteous, just judge who is seated on the throne. That verdict will never be overturned. We have been declared righteous, guiltless, when we came to faith. And guess what? We will remain guiltless in His sight right up through and until the very end, when we will stand blameless in His presence at Christ's return. That's what God guarantees. He will keep us strong to the end. Until that time comes, He will continue to sustain us and to provide for our every need. To be sure, oh, to be sure. Have you read the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians? Good grief, this church was a mess. To be sure, the Corinthians had a long way to go before their Christian lives matched their righteous status before God. Well, the same is true for us today. But despite their setbacks and struggles and the severe rebukes that God has sent, that Paul has sent their way, he reassures them that the God who has called and redeemed them will keep them strong in their faith to the end. That's all part of the five unbreakable links in the golden chain of salvation. Small wonder, then, that Paul always gave God thanks for His ongoing, never-ending, continuing, preserving grace. So should we. Do you know Christ? I mean, do you really know Christ? I'm not talking about if you've invited Him into your heart. I'm not talking about if you prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm not talking about if you say you're a member of the church. I want to know if you really know Christ. Well, here's one of the ways that you can know that you know him. You are rejoicing. You are thankful for the ongoing preserving work of grace in his heart, which keeps you believing so that you keep on persevering, so that you have an enduring hope that leads you into eternal glory. That's the only way we get to heaven. Hallelujah. It's the only way we get to heaven. And if that doesn't cause us to be rejoicing, I don't know what is. Except maybe some of you may not really be born again. Maybe if you don't have this kind of joy, this is what it's all about. We rejoice in God's persevering grace. Exhibit C, we have moved from Philippians 1 to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and now we go on to 1 Thessalonians 5, coupled with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh my, Exhibit C, 1 Thess 5, 23 and 24, and 2 Thess 3, 1 through 3, when viewed together. Both passages assure us of God's commitment to sanctify us completely and to guard us against every assault of the evil one. In both passages, we are assured that he is faithful to do both. What a reason for rejoicing. Here's Exhibit C. Paul to the Thessalonians. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's 1 Thess 5. 23 and 24, coupled with 2 Thess 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And I pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. Ah, but the Lord is faithful. And he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Why, that's 2 Thess 3, 1 through 3. If our faithful God is committed to sanctify us through and through, body, soul, and spirit, and to sustain us until the coming of Jesus Christ, then we will persevere in our faith. We won't abandon it or apostatize. God has committed himself to do everything necessary to ensure that we will continue in faith, love, and obedience, because what God starts, he completes.
Amen.
This is amazing. What God has begun in my heart and life, he's going to continue. He's going to hold on to me. He's going to keep me. He's going to preserve me. He's going to cause me to keep on pressing forward despite whatever hits me tomorrow. He has a steadfast love, and based upon his plan of sovereign grace, he keeps on preserving me so that I am persevering with an enduring hope that leads me to eternal glory. Hello! This is what we are all about. Further, if our faithful God promises to guard us against the attack of the evil one, then we can be assured that the arch enemy of our souls will not destroy or derail our faith. We can rest assured that he can never deceive us to the point of abandoning or rejecting the faith. That's all about his preserving grace. It's all about his preserving grace. Don't think for one moment that I am better than anybody else because I haven't rejected the faith and somebody else has. No, it's because the grace of God at work in my heart is enabling me to press on despite whatever may happen so that I continue persevering with an enduring hope that will lead me to an eternal glory. Next page, please. Our great God, in the words of a dear friend, Sam Storms, faithfully supplies every need, all the power, every incentive, and whatever spiritual resolve is needed so that each of us who knows Jesus truly will finally stand in his presence, blameless and whole. What a glorious affirmation. of God's preserving grace that enables us to have persevering faith with an enduring hope that leads to eternal glory. There is a wonderful illustration of this in Pilgrim's Progress. One of my all-time favorite stories is Pilgrim's Progress, as you all know by now. At the beginning of his journey, Christian arrives at the house of Interpreter. Interpreter, who represents the Holy Spirit, takes him on a guided tour, room by room. In each room, Interpreter explains a biblical truth that Christian will need to know before he continues his journey. In one of these rooms, Christian learns that persevering faith is the work of God's sovereign grace. Glory be to God. Persevering faith is the work of sovereign grace. Here's how the story reads. Then I saw in my dream that Interpreter took Christian by the hand and led him in a place where a fire was burning against a wall. Someone was standing beside it trying to put the fire out by constantly pouring great amounts of water upon it. Yet the fire continued to burn higher and hotter. "What does this mean?" asked Christian. Interpreter answered, "This fire is the work of grace that is formed in the heart. The one who throws water on it to extinguish it is the devil. But as you can see, the fire is burning higher and hotter in spite of this. And now you will see the reason why." So he took Christian around to the back side of the wall where they saw a man with a container of oil in his hand. Secretly, this man was continuously pouring oil into the fire. Then Christian asked, "What does this mean?" Interpreter answered, "This is Christ, who with the oil of his grace continually maintains the work already begun in the heart. Because of this, in spite of what the devil can do, the souls of his people will continue to walk in his grace." This is all persevering faith. The fact that the man was standing behind the wall to maintain the fire is meant to teach you that it is difficult for those experiencing temptation to see how this work of grace is being maintained in their souls. We may not know what is going on, but it is happening. So when we come to faith in Christ, what happens? He ignites our hearts with a blazing devotion to him. Do you all remember that day?
Yes.
The blazing fire that was lit within your hearts. You were on fire. It was a blazing devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened when people come to faith in Christ. The devil, who despises the saving work of grace, tries hard to extinguish our faith. So he douses us with his water. Question: what's in his bucket? What's in the devil's bucket? What's he continually throwing on us to try to douse the flame so that it's next to nothing and then goes out? Answer: what's in his bucket? Harassing temptations and doubts, trials, distractions, and bitter disappointments. Yet despite his best efforts, he fails. The fire not only continues to burn, it burns even higher and hotter. How can this be? Well, our faithful God secretly but steadily feeds the flame with the oil of his preserving grace. That's persevering faith made possible because of preservation of our great God and Savior, who keeps the flame going. And he not only keeps the flame going, he makes it burn hotter and higher, because through all of the testings and all of the trials and all of the tribulations and all of the things that comes across our path, we gain strength. we begin to grow deeper and we begin to develop more into the kind of people that God wants us to be. It's all part of the plan so that by His grace, we're enabled to persevere with an enduring hope that will one day lead to eternal glory. So as time goes by, what happens? Why, we discover that our hearts still burn with a love for God. Isn't that amazing? Think of all the stuff that you have been through and all the stuff that I have been through. We're still here. We're still here. And we still say and believe that we have a great love for God. Well, that's persevering faith. We have grown deeper in the faith. Oh, yes, we have. And become more humble and Christ-like in character. And our desire to serve Him and follow Him is more intense than ever because somebody is pouring the oil of preserving grace on the flame within our heart that enables us to keep on burning hotter and higher and move on forward. And we soon learn what in the world is happening. We soon learn what's going on behind the wall. God's grace keeps us aflame. Because it is His grace, He gets the glory, and we learn to rejoice in the preserving oil of His grace. Why? Because persevering in faith is the path. It's the only path to eternal glory, soli Deo Gloria, which translated means to God alone belongs the glory. Heavenly Father, how we praise Your name this day for preserving us with the oil of Your sovereign grace so that we continue persevering in faith with an enduring hope that one day leads to eternal glory. Give each and every one of us here the joy that this wonderful teaching is designed to create and continue within our hearts this day, no matter what the testing, yes, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation, no matter what the worry or anxiety might be today, yes, might You, by Your grace, enable us to look beyond that to the workings of Your grace in our hearts and lives this day. How we thank You that You are faithful and that what You have begun in our hearts, You will continue. We praise You for this time together and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.